Hey, how's it going, folks? Welcome to the Blind Bargains Cast, episode 181, Joe? Is that where we're at?
181. 181 episodes.
Oh my gosh. It's a palindrome one. Awesome.
Always yeah, like one of your favorite titles. That's so
yes. We have a lot going on this week. We talked about Google last week, so if you want to go back and figure out that, we'll slide back there. And also, yum, jerky. But that was last week. This week, we have several different things. We have a really awesome audio guy, Patrick Perdue, who does things that I don't understand half the time. But he's also good at explaining things to us peons who don't understand it as much. So, Patrick, what are you going to be telling us about here in a minute?
So I'm going to be talking about two things that I never thought would go together, and that is Bluetooth and low-latency audio. Those things can coexist, believe it or not, and I'll show you how it works.
That will be one Scott Dappert would love.
Oh, yeah.
One of his favorites.
I thought of him specifically when I got...
Yeah, absolutely. I could see that for sure.
Otherwise, you'd think it'd be like peanut butter and sauerkraut.
Yeah, I don't know about
sauerkraut and anything. No. Sauerkraut and anything. No?
Okay. Hey, so more peanut butter and banana like bacon.
That might give you Bluetooth. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
We might be going to conventions coming up shortly. I know Joe and I are going to Vegas.
Vegas, baby!
I don't know if we decided on Patrick yet. We might just send you somewhere in a box.
In a box.
I'm
all right with boxes. About that. Boris in a box. And all that.
Boris in a box in Rochester. That'd be funny.
Would you be all right with a tile? It might be very helpful if you're having a luggage.
If you put the tile on the box and it gets lost, then that might just work out fine as long as somebody else is there to find it.
Yeah, tiles have gotten a lot better. I was not very impressed with the very first tiles, but they've gotten a lot better now, and I will explain why. We'll make that our tip this week. And we're sponsored. Oh, well, before I said actually, before the sponsor, what are you? Oh, we got some last word stuff. We got sound off. We have a Roomba that's out of control. And
now you don't have to get out of bed for your entertainment. So cool.
That is true. And I guess it kind of fits both of the stories, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
Interesting way. But anyway, yes, we are sponsored. And all this is cool. We're sponsored by Aira, AIRA.io. Aira is giving away prizes, not like little prizes, big prizes. We don't have them all lined up yet, but one of them is going to be an iPhone. Yes, an iPhone.
An actual iPhone.
Is really, really cool. So stay tuned in the show.
Not an SE, not a 6 Plus. No, a real modern day iPhone.
Not a hand-me-an Aira phone. I like it. A hand-me-down phone. Yes, we will tell you how this all works. It is free. You don't have to be a paid Aira user to get into this. It's going to be open to anyone that's listening to the show. Stay tuned a little bit later. We will tell you how to sign up for that.
But coming up in the news, we have some things to go over. You know, we glossed over some of the things that was happening over at Microsoft Build. There were some accessibility things that were kind of interesting along the way. Like I mentioned last week, OneNote is going to have dark mode, which is kind of neat. One of the things that people are looking very forward to is the new version of Edge, which will have Chromium under the hood. So that way, things that are already working with the Chrome web browser under Chromium will work really, really well. Some assistive technology, Jay and I were talking before we started, like NVDA is going to work really well with it. Freedom Scientific released a blog post to kind of tell people about what was going on so far. Now, you could test Chromium right now on Edge. If you go for the Edge dev channel, you want to get the development version of Edge. And there are, you know, like Windows Insider, there are canary builds where things are happening almost daily. And then there are slower builds, you know, weekly builds, monthly builds. So you actually could play with this without, you know, upsetting your current Edge. I mean, if you're a current Edge user, but, the difference is pretty, pretty crazy. And how did you find it? You've been playing with it for a while, Jay.
I play with it for a minute now. Let's just back up for a second. I have 7 web browsers on my computer now. It's a few. Someone's going to ask. Chrome and Chrome Beta, Firefox and Firefox Beta, Internet Explorer, Edge, and now this Edge Beta. I don't use 3 or 4 of these, but you know, they're all sitting around. So, yeah, because it's based on Chromium, that means it operates a lot like Chrome. So, and almost like Chrome, but even maybe even a little snappier. Now, part of the snappiness might be a bit of a mirage, because you know when you download a new web browser, it always seems to be snappy the first day. But then in some cases, Firefox especially, it kind of starts getting laggier and laggier as you go along. Uh-huh. The thing that's exciting for me, the support for Edge, obviously that's a lot cooler, and it should work well with Narrator and JAWS and NVDA and all and Zoom Text, all the rest. I'm excited that it also means by extension that Narrator is going to work with Chrome. And I've already tested that a little bit, and it does work in beta form. So you're not going to be one of the big knocks on Narrator was, well, you have to use the Edge browser or whatever. And no, now you
can. The old Edge browser, not the current one, but the old one. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm excited for. Now it's going
to be really, really fluid.
Now help me out here, because this is where I was confused. I assumed, because I guess it was this way, that Edge was a built-in Windows thing like Internet Explorer was. I'm wrong.
Right. So Edge is its own separate browser. There are certain things that can be powered by Edge within your internal Windows, but they started to decouple that in a lot of processes. So they could be a little bit more fluid in how often they update it. And so you still have your monumental releases like Spring Update, but Edge is kind of going to have to update more often because Chrome updates more often. So if you're basing Chrome and Chromium and your technology on it, like Firefox, Chrome updates pretty regularly.
So you kind of
have to step it away. Yeah. And they're doing the same thing. They're looking to do that with the security suite too, where the security suite has its own insider test builds because they're updating the security suite. A lot of Microsoft products have those more rapid release schedules if you feel like you want to get involved with it. So I'm an Xbox insider. I'm a Windows insider. I'm not an Office insider because that can get very dangerous very quickly, where it releases a bunch of new stuff. And it's really great if you're into Office's wonderful suite of products. But if you're not, and you're not really an Office guru, and I am nowhere near an Office guru, Clippy and I have, we were never the best of friends. But there is that, if that's what you want to do, if you want to have the latest PowerPoint and see how all of that is integrating. I will integrate once more. It's important we say this. Don't do this on your production machine. It's a bad idea. Always do this on a test machine. If you have the ability to do that on a test machine.
Okay. You know what? I will deviate slightly here because it's a browser. It's a piece of software. It's not your operating system.
If it's not your primary browser,
you can install it on your machine, but just realize it's going to be alongside. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not like reinstalling Windows where it takes over everything, or you know, being on an iOS or Android beta. But yeah, you don't have to. You can have this installed, and you can have the old one installed, and one will not jump on top of the others.
What is something I had to do in order to test the AirPlay support on my television? My television accepts AirPlay. It's like Chromecast, but it's Apple. I had to move to the latest public beta of Apple at the time, which was 12.3. Now it's not, but at the time of recording, 12.3 is now gold and out in everybody's hands. But I had to go ahead and move to a beta version of the software to get the AirPlay support to work with Vizio, which is super cool. As soon as that's actually real support, I'll talk about it on the show. But for right now, it's super, super awesome. At the same time, I was like, hey, while I'm doing this, I should go ahead and check out Voice Dream Scanner, which we've talked about on the show before. Yep. It's seen a lot of updates since that time that I loaded them both on the same day. I bought Voice Dream Scanner and then loaded the public beta on the same day. So I figured, you know, if I screwed up Royal. I haven't screwed up on either. And in the meantime, they keep adding crazy features to Voice Dream Scanner. Now, we've got it, the latest Access World, the one for May of 2019, where it's reviewed. But even some of the things that were talked about in this review, the review is still valid, but some features have changed. Like even the way that edge detection is working with a tone that kind of oscillates, and the way that things are actually working, the speed of it is amazing. And of course, if you already have Voice Dream Suite, you can integrate even more because Scanner is a separate app for $5.99, or you can go ahead and put that into the suite as well. So they're still two separate purchases, but they talk to each other. So you can take things out and import them or export them over to the suite.
So I'm looking at the changelog 1.2 just came out a few days ago. They have the share extension support now. So you can send images from other apps to Scanner now. The scan tone is refined. I still think they could even do more with the scan tone. And I've also was talking to someone who was like, you know what? It would also be cool to have a secondary verbal indication, or, you know, voice indication for people who prefer words as opposed to a tone for that. Improved language and orientation detection. Manual rotation for those who, you know, in this case, it's not picking up the text. Improved handling of multi-column layout. Man, they've done as much in Scanner and more than KNFB Reader did in years. And Winston is just a beast of a programmer. This is the scanning app to get now. It doesn't send to the cloud. This is the one
device.
Going forward, I am recommending to anyone who has an iPhone as far as scanning. This is the one to get. Seeing AI is great for the short text and things like that. This is great for documents.
Yeah, and I think of that in a very similar way as a handheld magnifier versus, you know, using a CCTV. You know, you're going to do more long-range, long-reading things, especially if you use, like, Bookshare with VoiceDream Reader and the like. It's more of your multi-use kind of thing. And I've used it to scan things on LCD screens, LED screens, where seeing AI just is not grabbing it. And so, yeah, it's nice to have another tool in the toolbox. And at such an amazing price, go get it. $5.99. Definitely worth it.
Hey, Jamie's got an article in there.
Yeah. What? There were some other things in there on Access World. Did you have a favorite?
Some job stuff. Yeah, I just got it. I just haven't really looked through it yet. Getting the job done with Access Technology. It might be easier than you think, from Jamie Pauls.
Than you think.
And an interview with Michael Hinkson and some vision tech stuff as well. So always,
you know, what was really cool was one of the tasks that the students in MSU had to do during my class was to write essays, an expository essay on digital assistants. It was trippy to see Jamie, one of his articles cited by two students. I was just like, hey, I know that guy. That's kind of funny. Not prepared to see that in this area, but okay, that's super cool. But one of the things that was happening while I was in Starkville was Ricky did another Hadley Presents. Of course, Tech It Out is a thing that she does once a month, and it was about ride sharing. And they're doing more like what's going on with the Hadley Growers Group. So those are people who are into gardening, and they're just adding so much more over at Hadley that they've done a Hadley Presents podcast feed. So you can keep up with all the digital goings on over at Hadley. And they are adding more stuff. It's like Microsoft. I'm under NDA. Mm-hmm. I can't say some of the stuff I know, but man,
yeah,
some of the stuff
that is coming. It's Ricky, how do you say it? Anger?
Yeah. Okay. That lady that told that lady over there who I might be engaged to. Yeah.
Hey, starting out with this no sponsor tie-in, but this happened, starting out with a conversation with Ira on episode one.
Recorded before Jonathan left. Yeah. So, and it's
but
actually,
but the content is still valid. I mean, for sure.
Well, I was going there. That's exactly where I was going, was that he actually talks about the industry in general and talks about kind of a 30,000 foot view of the AT industry for the way he sees it. So it actually is, even if you're not into Ira, it's a good interview if you're a fan of Jonathan's, or even if you are a fan of Ira, he describes what it is and what it means to him. And so, yeah, go check it out. It's actually a good one. There's going to be different subjects, and it's going to be conversations from within the industry.
Do you know the timing on this? Is it monthly, or is this kind of
as far as I know at the moment, it is ad hoc. So it's happening as it's happening. I don't think they've assigned kind of a schedule to it. Like Tech It Out is once a month. So I don't know that there's a direct schedule for that just yet.
I see a transcript too.
Uh-huh.
Always good to have
You know what also has transcripts? Tends to? NVDAcon. NVDAcon is coming up. It's right around the corner. They're already calling for papers. So is ATIA, by the way. And if you're looking to speak over in Florida and have a reason to go to Florida, ATIA is looking for people to speak, as well as NVDAcon. But you got to act pretty quickly if you want to be involved, because that's right around the corner. But they're looking for papers and call for people to come in. It's always a good time. Joseph Lee, and that's a great session to catch because he does so much in the community.
Yep. And for those who are not familiar, it's an entirely remote conference. So you don't have to go anywhere for NVDAcon. You just have to open up a voice chat client. And you can attend the various sessions. Usually there's a keynote from the people from NV Access, kind of talking about what's going on with them. And they are involved. It's a user thing, but it's completely supported by the staff as well. So it's a little later this year, right? Because it used to be
like early June, spring, wasn't it?
Yeah. I believe this year I saw August.
Yeah, it was almost always around convention, because we would tie it into other like wrap-up shows from convention or the show right after. So it was either right before or right after.
To see if it, in August 2019 is when it will be this year. So a little bit, you got a little extra time to plan. To plan and do it, you know, and they're looking for all sorts of different types of users. You don't have to necessarily be some expert coder or developer to do a session. If you have a great user experience, or say maybe you've taken NVDA and implemented it in your in a company or somewhere, you know, where you work, hey, I'm sure they'd love to hear your proposals. And then you know,
you could totally do that, right? You could do that. You and Liam could do a talk about how you play You Don't Know Jack or one of the games from the
right using NVDA's OCR, which I've done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally do that. He's actually doing that right now. He's been playing Ace Attorney. He's been playing Phoenix Wright. He's been broadcasting Liam has over on his Mixer channel and doing things with OCR. He's actually done that with Soul Calibur and some other stuff where he's using NVDA OCR to grab that and play it within the channel. So he knows what's going on and so does everybody else, which is kind of cool. The reason why I bring that up is that Microsoft announced a video game controller with a Braille display. In fact, they patented the idea, which is really, really awesome. For those who don't know, the Xbox has had Narrator on board since 2015, and it was kind of one of the reasons why I bought an Xbox and why I buy kind of Xbox games first on all my systems over here is that there's been a dedication to screen reading on the console. It's changed over the years. You used to be able to do everything on controller. Now you can actually use Narrator mode and a keyboard. So you can actually use a lot of your Narrator keys that you already know because, of course, this is Windows that's on an Xbox and you can use that with Microsoft Narrator. And the idea is that you can do some things where you could read Edge. Here we go, back to Edge. You could use Microsoft Edge with your Narrator keyboard commands and actually read Braille or read messages from the system in Braille or chat within Braille. You could actually chat with a Microsoft controller and Braille display. That is just amazing and super cool. And I'm looking very, very forward to seeing if this is going to get implemented. I've joked a lot whenever I'm at one of the Xbox conferences of, yeah, I'd like to see Braille. You know, what's your biggest feature? Yeah, I want to read Braille on my Xbox. I can? Oh, now I got to come up with a new joke.
You're doing all this high-tech gaming. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
I love the low-tech. You know, sometimes it's cool to sit down and play with Legos. Now, as a 4 or 5 year old kid, I noticed the resemblance of the Lego bricks, which have different amounts of bumps on them, and Braille, you know, especially you actually have some that are 6 dots. I don't know how you did it. When I was a kid, you know, you're like, I need an 8er. I need an 8er and a 4 here. And, you know, because you had the different names for the different, you know, the square 4s or the long ones. You know, we might as well.
Or the little 2 ones for little small parts. Like if you wanted to do like a column and you just needed the little blue with the 2 on them. Yeah. Those were Windows.
It's finally happening. We've thought about it for years and years. But with the Lego Foundation teaming up, they're actually going to make Braille Lego bricks. So not only can you teach Braille, you could also create some Lego monstrosity of a whatever and have like a Braille signage on the front if you wanted to, or on the top.
I built my own ADA wheelchair ramp out of Lego. Look at this.
I built a Lego. I just thought, do the Lego restroom sign.
That's it. I like this plan.
It would be a lot easier to read than some of the ones I've seen.
Spatial awareness. I stunk at geometry. I took it, but I, you know, with having one eye, I had two-dimensional vision, so I understood that a table had height, width, and depth. I just couldn't draw it on a sheet of paper to save my life. So spatial awareness, I learned through XY grids and maps because I was playing Dungeons and Dragons. So I would memorize these things, and I think the same way now, actually, when I go to a shopping mall or something, I'm mapping in my head. So spatial awareness, learning walls, learning how things are built, that's not easy for some people if they've never been exposed to it. And what a great way to get people to do this and also do it with Braille. Of course, I wonder if they'll feel any different when you step on them at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night when you go to the restroom. Because I'm telling you, those things still hurt in the non-Braille version. Those are sharp.
So they're partnering, is APH they're partnering with the...
Many blindness organizations from this press release that's in show notes. So I assume RNIB, APH... places like that.
It's mass listed. Symbols, so not just the letters. Letters zero through, or letters zero through nine. Numbers zero through nine. Letters, mass symbols, and inspiration for teaching and interactive games. So maybe like little arrows and things like that. Cool
so,
idea.
So we went from Banerjee and the Braille-io. Which was the Lego Braille printer. Mm-hmm. Remember that was one buddy Brandon interviewed a long time ago. So we've gone from that to actual real Lego, not Duplo, not knockoff, not at the $5 or less store. No, real Lego bricks and,
kids in college, and
having Braille on them. So cool.
Wait a minute. This will be definitely another one to follow. The kind of tagging on a code jumper and the Braille Buzz and all these things, you know, the kids' toys are starting to really come out there, which is cool. And then when you get older, you can get the Braille remote for your Xbox.
Sure. So, playgrounds and start learning how to code at Apple stores. There's a lot of neat tools that are out there.
Definitely.
Well, you know, you could probably find those Lego bricks a little easier if you see them on the floor with, say, something like Horizon, our friends from Ira.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a great way to be able to find that stuff on the ground or around you. Ricky and I, on the way to Anaheim, actually used Horizon from the Charlotte airport. It was one of those situations where, had we needed assistance, we couldn't find any assistance. Ricky puts on Horizon. I'm walking behind her. We step in and three of them descend upon us and offer a wheelchair. It was really funny. one of those moments where you think, you know, well, what could go right is going to go right. But what sometimes can go wrong can really go wrong. And it's really good to be able to have something like IRA to be able to look around the airport and be able to get that information when you need it, when there aren't people there to assist you. Or maybe you don't want any people to assist you at all. Ricky calls it very liberating to be able to just get up off the plane and walk off like everybody else
and not have to deal with all of the extra hassle. I'm really happy. We mentioned at the top of the show that Ira is going to be doing a new contest with us. So you're going to be hearing a lot about Ira over the next several weeks, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. Myself and Ira, especially over the past several months since they launched the small business offer, that has been a godsend for me. I use it to decipher PDFs that are sent to me in inaccessible formats or try to fill out web forms that, you know, I'd love to advocate for accessibility and I still do, but sometimes I just need something filled out or I need to get a purchase order out. The IRA small business offer, which is a free offer, is a way that I can do that. I know people think of IRA sometimes as, you know, I don't want to pay for the minutes. There are so many ways you can use IRA for free now. So many airports, the small business offer, the JAWS offer, if you're at a Walgreens. Many different stores. There are so many ways to use IRA for free. So there is no reason not to go to AIRA.io and sign up. Get yourself an account. You're going to need that account for our contest that is going to be coming up with IRA that we will tell you more about next week. But definitely get that account and get that ready because you can use it to win some big prizes. Maybe we mentioned iPhone at the top of the show.
Yeah, an actual, real, honest to God, not made of Lego iPhone.
Not an old iPhone. Not an iPhone four. No.
Very modern iPhone. Very much a newer model iPhone. Now, again, if you want to be able to know where those free locations are, you know, one of the things about the app is you can actually see that kind of a notification when you're near a center, like an AT&T situation, and you can actually use it there as well. So go ahead, download the app, sign up, do it as a guest account and play around with it, or just go ahead and sign up for one of the plans that are available. It is a good thing to have on hand, especially if you're traveling. Like I said, it's one of the good things about having that. And there are so many places where if you haven't tried it before, or you've heard us talk about it, or maybe you've heard Greg on one of our interviews, you have many ways that you can actually try the service for yourself and decide if it's for you.
There's so many places nearby. So what they've done now, when you go to the site access locations, they sort it by distance because there just are so many of them now. So in my area, I have several Walgreens stores, the AT&T stores, more and more airports are popping up, as we mentioned a minute ago. So yes, lots of different locations. The project over in Boston, over on the transit system in Boston, that's really innovative and awesome that you can use IRA, many of those transit locations there. And that's popping up in more and more locations. So definitely iOS or Android, it doesn't matter. The apps are available on both platforms, so you can use it with either. It's, of course, very accessible because it's built for us. And you can use the free AIRA IRA app. Go get that app right now and sign up.
Now, when Ricky gets off that plane, She can actually call the agent and have them go ahead and set up an Uber or a Lyft that can make life so much easier. The Charlotte airport, you have to go down to like Zone D and stand there, and it is a mess with three lanes of traffic, and it can be very difficult to actually direct the driver. You can describe what you look like, you can describe what your bags are, you can, you know, hold out there, but when it's hot and humid and all those cars are under the airport in that little enclosed area, it's just, oh, it's a pain. So having someone there who's watching on their dashboard the car coming closer to you, has a description of the car, and can actually look to see if that car is getting closer, can make life so much easier. And not just, you know, with airports. We're talking about, you know, going to a restaurant, going out, going to just daily travel. You know, safety is a key concern for a lot of travelers, and having Ira there to be able to help you know that that silver Nissan is your silver Nissan for Uber or Lyft is a big deal.
So once again, we will have details. You're going to want to listen to next week's podcast. We will tell you where you need to go to enter the contest, give you all the details, and how you can win all these big prizes. So be sure to tune into next week's Blind Bargains cast, and we will give you all of the details. And again, for more information, AIRA.io, and learn more about Ira, your life, your schedule right now. And we definitely thank Ira for sponsoring us here on the BBQ.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains cast.
Mmm, saucy.
Do you sometimes find Bluetooth audio a bit lacking? Well, these guys can understand your frustrations.
What do we hate?
Bluetooth!
What do we say?
Go away!
What do we want?
Headphone jacks!
What do you say?
Bring them back!
Headphone jacks! Headphone jacks!
Right. Headphone jacks!
We demand
headphone jacks!
Okay, so things aren't quite that bad yet, but today I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that'll make your Bluetooth life a little bit less frustrating, if not a little less latent, if not now, then in the future, depending on which devices you're using. And this is using a technology called aptX Low Latency from Qualcomm. Qualcomm, in their infinite wisdom, quite a long time ago, devised a Bluetooth audio codec called aptX, which is pretty common in lots of things that aren't iPhones. Okay, so before I get into that explanation, let me just say a few things about Bluetooth audio right here, which defy the fact that Bluetooth audio is supposed to be sort of simple. You connect your device and it's supposed to work. And for the most part, that's basically true. But there's a lot going on behind the scenes, depending on what you're using and how you're using it. First of all, let me start off by saying that none of these Bluetooth audio codecs I'm about to describe are lossless. And what I mean by that is, with all of these codecs, there's always some information being lost somewhere between your devices for sake of bandwidth constraints. Kind of like MP3 when you compare it to WAV or FLAC. With MP3, even at the highest bitrate, even if you can't necessarily tell, there's always something being thrown away. Same for Bluetooth audio. As far as I know, there are no lossless implementations of Bluetooth audio, although there is a really high bandwidth Sony codec I don't know much about. Maybe that one is, but somehow I doubt it. So a long time ago, someone decided that Bluetooth audio should be stereo and sound good, as opposed to just being used for general communications type stuff. So they devised the A2DP standard, which is still being used today. With that A2DP standard comes an audio codec called SBC, and no, I don't actually know what SBC stands for. I assume the C is codec, though. And this is a mandatory standard for anything that supports the A2DP profile for Bluetooth music. And so if you are an equipment manufacturer that does Bluetooth audio using A2DP, so basically anything these days, you have to support this codec, no matter what. And it's a fallback. It's a standard. That doesn't mean it's a great standard. It means it's the standard. If I'm not mistaken, SBC is based, at least somewhat, on MPEG Layer 2. So it's based on some pretty old technology. So, years later, along come Apple and Qualcomm to modernize things a little bit. Qualcomm with their aptX codec and Apple with their AAC codec. Both of these aim to basically sound better using the same or less bandwidth, and they both succeed at this to varying degrees. So this is where things can get a little bit confusing, because the A2DP standard can incorporate any of these codecs, and many devices support many of these codecs, but not necessarily all of them. In fact, most of, I would say, the devices out there don't support AAC and aptX as well as SBC, because as I said before, that's a mandatory standard. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that AAC is more expensive to license than aptX, based on the number of devices I see that support it. AAC is definitely not as widely supported as aptX, which is really unfortunate if you're an iPhone user, because iPhones, for whatever reason, have decided not yet to implement any of the aptX variations. Oh, you can do that all day long on a Mac, but not on a phone. I'm sure there's some silly reason for that. Now, I'm not going to get into which of these sounds better. I mean, some people prefer AAC, some prefer aptX, and some, like me, generally don't prefer Bluetooth audio. I mean, if you've got a wire, use it. That's kind of how I feel about it. In any case, there are a bunch of variations of the aptX codec. There's aptX HD, aptX Adaptive, and what we're going to talk about today, aptX Low Latency, which is designed specifically to be, well, as least latent as possible. Especially if you're an iPhone user, I think it's a little better on Android, but especially if you're an iPhone user, you'll be very familiar, as a voiceover user, of the annoying tendency to be really kind of latent when you're using Bluetooth devices. When you're swiping through screens and trying to get things done, it's obvious that you're not using a wired headset. There's just that lag, and it's just kind of annoying. It's better with some devices than others, but it's always there to some degree or another. And this aims to minimize that. According to the Qualcomm engineers, you can't detect the difference between something that's anything from 0 to 40 milliseconds. Your brain just can't tell the difference. My theory is that Qualcomm, when they did this study, probably didn't have any screen reader users in the panel. So to that end, the aptX low latency codec specifies that the latency should be between 32 and 40 milliseconds, so the worst case scenario is 40 milliseconds. And I guess this came about mostly because people were trying to use Bluetooth headsets with TVs and noticing that the audio and video were just obviously out of sync because the audio was so delayed. So the brain, apparently from visual stimulants especially, can't tell the difference when it's even 40 milliseconds delayed. I'm not sure how accurate that is, because I don't have any visual references to go by, obviously. I don't have any vision. But what I can tell you is that it's, well, more usable anyway. It's still not a wire. I still prefer using wired stuff whenever possible. But to that end, I have a pair of devices I'm going to talk about, and these are the Anker SoundSync A3341 2-in-1 Bluetooth receiver and transmitter, and the Avantri Clipper Pro, which is just a receiver that you clip onto your shirt or to your waistband or whatever. It's a tiny little receiver. And I chose these two devices to start with because someone told me about this particular pair and that it worked pretty well together. So I thought I would try it, mostly as a sort of general-purpose wireless headset. So the idea being I can plug this Anker SoundSync into any source that I want to get audio from, and then plug this receiver into a pair of regular old headphones and walk around and have reasonable audio coming from the sound source. Now, the nice thing about the Anker SoundSync A3341 is that it has both analog and digital connectivity for both transmitting and receiving. So if, for example, you want to add Bluetooth to a soundbar that doesn't have it, this is a really cheap way to do that at $35 or so. And if you want to send audio from your TV, for example, from your set-top box digitally to any number of things, speakers or headphones or whatever, that's also fairly easy to achieve. Before I demonstrate this relatively interesting low-latency system, let me demonstrate how awesome it is to, well, or not awesome it is to not have it. Or something convoluted like that. So I have my Anker SoundSync A3341 receiver connected to the digital input on my audio interface. I'm actually going straight digital for the demonstration, for what it's worth. Yeah, the sound won't be colored, I guess. I have my iPhone and my Google Home Mini connected to the Anker. This device supports multipoint, as does the Clipper Pro, so you can have up to two devices connected at the same time, and you can't use them both at the same time. You can use one or the other. So I have my iPhone connected. I'm going to swipe through the screen, and I'm simply going to say swipe every time I make a swipe gesture, so you can see how latent this is. Swipe.
City Mobile.
Swipe.
Dropbox.
Swipe.
File Browser.
Swipe.
Ferrite.
Swipe.
Hokus AI 2.
Swipe.
Twisted Wave.
Swipe.
Audio Memos.
Swipe.
Facebook.
Swipe.
WhatsApp.
Swipe.
Twitterific.
So as you can hear, it takes a little bit of time to happen. Now, let's compare this to just using the headphone jack through the Lightning port. Swipe.
WhatsApp.
Swipe.
Twitterific.
Swipe.
Seeing AI.
Swipe.
Softphone.
Swipe.
iCast 2.
Swipe.
Koala Sans.
Swipe.
KNFB.
Swipe.
FaceTime.
Swipe.
Page 2 of 8. Adjustable.
Yeah. A lot faster, obviously. Now I can do something where latency doesn't matter. Hey, Gary. What's the weather in San Francisco?
Right now in San Francisco, it's 53 with rain. The forecast tonight is 55 with showers.
So as you can hear, the Google Home Mini, even though it's connected through Bluetooth, does not send the assistant audio through Bluetooth, which is kind of unfortunate. I've got a microphone sitting straight on top of it so that it doesn't sound like it's across the room, which it is. So if I do something like, hey, Larry, play Andre Louis inspired by sound.
Sure, playing the album hashtag inspired by sound on Deezer.
And it should come through.
Inspired by sound.
Oh my god, it's me! And yes, it's coming through the Bluetooth. Directly on the digital input of my audio interface. Now, what happens if I suddenly cut that connection simply by turning the Bluetooth receiver off? Well, I'd love to do that, but I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Okay, so I'll just hit the button. It should just start. Yep. It just starts playing through the speaker. Now I'll turn it back on. And you can set this up like any cast device, by the way, in the Google Home stuff. And it's back. Well, in this case, latency doesn't really matter. It's just getting audio from here to there. Hey, Tracy, stop. Okay, cool, it's a receiver. That's not really a big deal. There have been Bluetooth receivers around for years. It's the low latency stuff that makes it more interesting as a receiver, plus the fact that it can do both analog and digital. So this little box, I would say, imagine an Apple TV shrunk to maybe an eighth of its former size. It's that kind of shape, very plastic. It has one button on the front, which is the entire control functionality other than a switch on the side, and four ports on the back. So the ports from left to right are the micro USB port for charging and power, the optical out, optical in, and the combination input-output 3.5mm stereo jack. So this is the same jack regardless of if you're using it as a transmitter or a receiver. It just makes a difference where the switch is. This thing comes with a micro USB cable, 3.5mm straight cable, cable to convert that to two RCAs, and a Toslink cable. So it comes with everything you need to connect it to digital or analog stuff. As I said, it can run from either battery or USB, and it boasts a pretty good battery life. I don't remember the exact specifications, and I'm not looking at it right now, but I think I remember seeing something like 15 hours of battery life for receiving and a little more for transmit, and the specs are a little different for analog versus digital. This thing is portable, but it's not the type of thing you want if you are using headphones. I mean, yeah, you could stick it in your pocket, but the problem is it has a line-level output, so you can't plug headphones into it directly without using a preamp. Thus, the need for something like the Avantri Clipper Pro. I could have gone with something like the Anker SoundSync A3352, which looks like kind of the same sort of thing, but I decided to use the Avantri Clipper Pro instead. Actually, the Anker's a little bit cheaper, and had I known about it, I might have gotten it, but I went with this one. This thing is maybe 2 inches long. It has a clip on it, and it has a large button bar kind of thing on the front, which is your up and down volume, a thing on the side, which is this rubber protrusion sort of sticky out silicone thing, I guess, to keep it from sliding or something when you eventually drop it onto the floor. There's a multifunction button on the side and a flap that covers a micro USB port and a headphone jack on the top, and that's essentially it. It's rated for 6 hours of battery life, and I'm surprised it's that much given the size. I'm not sure how big the battery is, but it can't be more than a couple hundred milliamps. But fortunately, if you do want to use it for more than 6 hours, you can use it while it's charging. So if you want to run around with a battery in your pocket, feel free. This little guy, by the way, comes with a micro USB cable and a headphone splitter. So if you want to connect something to Bluetooth and share it with two of your friends, or you and a friend, you can stick the Bluetooth receiver on your source and connect this headphone splitter, stick two pairs of headphones on it, and have a good time. Unlike the Anchor SoundSync A3341, it supports the use of phone calls through the hands-free profile because it has a built-in microphone, which is, well, it has a built-in microphone.
And this is the absolutely amazing microphone on the Avantri Clipper Pro Bluetooth receiver, which is pretty quiet, so I'm just going to normalize it. Now, when you're using the phone as a phone, the iPhone anyway, I'm not sure how Android handles it, generally will tend to use a bunch of auto gain, and it'll bring the volume of the microphone up to something more reasonable, which is great because it's really quiet, and otherwise nobody would be able to hear what you're saying. But at the same time, this really isn't any worse than a bunch of other Bluetooth microphones out there. So there's that, I guess.
Before I hook everything up and turn it on and make it all work, let's do a little simulation. Assume the left channel over here is your source, and the right channel over here is your destination. And this is what it would sound like if they're delayed by 40 milliseconds, which is the worst case scenario. Don't worry, if you're listening in mono, you'll still pretty much get the idea. Now let's see if this is accurate. So I have the transmitter on, I have the digital output on the audio interface set to relay the microphone, so in theory, all I have to do is turn on my Avantri Clipper Pro.
Welcome to Avantri.
And it should pair to the transmitter, and when it does, I should start hearing a delayed version of me coming across. Oh, there it is. Well, that's not bad, but it's not 40 milliseconds or less. It's more like 100. Well, that's a little longer. Well, here's an interesting observation. I'm going to let it sit for a minute, and it will become less and less latent. You can actually hear the delay going shorter and shorter. Still going a little bit shorter. And that's pretty good right there. And that's even better. So for whatever reason, when you initially pair these devices, it takes a little bit of time, I guess, to adapt and figure out, oh, hey, I can actually do this low latency thing. That's pretty good right there. That seems to measure at about 50 milliseconds, which is still a little bit more than 40, but it's a lot less than what I was getting with the iPhone, and it seems to change a little bit. Okay, now I'm actually going to do a slightly more practical demonstration of this by using a screen reader through it. And what I'm going to do to make this point is record the session where I'm just going to type some stuff with keyboard echo, and I'm going to be purposefully very loud at typing, and I'm going to record both the Bluetooth receiver picking up the audio output from the sound card and the sound card directly. I'm going to play the same section of audio twice, the first time being with the sound card fed into itself directly, and the second time will be from the Bluetooth receiver. And let's see just how much this delay really affects things.
Untitled notepad, text editor, multi-line, when. A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-D-C-D-E-F-G-H-J-I-O-I-O-A-A-A-A-A-I-O-P-T-U-S-A-S-E-M-E. I-O-P-T-U-S-A-S-E-M-E. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. In the event of an emergency, you should probably ignore us. 12:40 a.m. 12:04 Sunday 139, week 20 of 2019. 12 Sunday, May 19th, 2019. Start window, return window, search box edit, WAN, all app 7 zip for grouping. Alarms and AppleSoft B grouping, backup and Derringer folder, C grouping, calculator, calendar. Untitled notepad, text editor, edit multi-line. In the event of an emergency, you should probably ignore us.
And now the Bluetooth version.
Untitled notepad, text editor, edit multi-line, WAN. A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-D-C-D-E-F-G-H-J-I-O-I-O-A-K-A-A-A-I-O-P-T-U-S-A-S-E-M-E. I-O-P-T-U-S-A-S-E-M-E. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. In the event of an emergency, you should probably ignore us. 12:40 a.m. 12:04 Sunday 139, week 20 of 2019. From 12 Sunday, May 19th, 2019. Start window, return window, search box edit, WAN, all app 7 zip for grouping. Alarms and AppleSoft B grouping, backup and Derringer folder, C grouping, calculator, calendar. Untitled notepad, text editor, edit multi-line. In the event of an emergency, you should probably ignore us.
If you're perceptive, you'll notice that the output from the Bluetooth receiver did sound a little different, other than being slightly delayed, of course. It doesn't have a neutral sound, it is a little colored, and I kind of wish that wasn't the case. Maybe the Anchor Bluetooth receiver that I mentioned earlier, the A3352, will be a little more neutral. It's not too bad, it's just different. I certainly wouldn't use it for reference, but then again, I wouldn't be using Bluetooth audio for reference anyway. Just for fun, here's a short piece of music. And here's the same short piece going through the Bluetooth stack. Original. Bluetooth. Yeah, it's a little colored, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? Probably not. It's mostly just me being nitpicky. I doubt most people would even notice or care. It sounds good, anyway. Really, it's no different than plugging the same set of headphones into your computer, your CD player, if you still have one of those, and your iPhone. They'll all sound a little bit different, even with the same song. That's just the nature of digital audio conversion. And now for some observations. This low latency thing certainly won't work if you don't have the AptX low latency compatibility on both your sending and receiving device. So this means you have to specifically look for devices that support AptX low latency. In the show notes, I have a Qualcomm page that actually has a list of all of the supported products, as of the time of this recording anyway, that supports this codec, including a pair of bone conduction headphones by Panasonic. I don't know if they're any good, but they might be worth checking out. If you pair this transmitter to something that isn't AptX low latency compatible, it'll fall back to a few other codecs. It also supports AptX, AptX HD, AAC, and SBC. So no matter what you use, it will at least work. I connected it to my Bose SoundLink Mini and got a delay of about 200 milliseconds. By the way, it will also transmit to two devices simultaneously. Don't expect them to be quite in sync, though, and when you do that, it'll drop back to SBC, so both devices will be more latent, even if both of them happen to support AptX low latency. What about native Android support? Well, I don't think it exists natively in Android. There are a few devices that specifically say they support AptX low latency, and Android does support AptX adaptive as of Pi, so you'll probably still get quite a bit better results using an AptX low latency device with an Android device than you will with iOS, because it falls back to either AAC or SBC. And in either case, using my Anchor receiver or the Avantri Clipper Pro, latency is about the same either way, although the Clipper Pro interestingly does not support AAC, and the Anchor does. Avantri, by the way, is spelled A-V-A-N-T-R-E-E, and Anchor is A-N-K-E-R. Using the Anchor receiver, there's a switch on the side. If it's in the up position, it's set to receive mode, and in the down position, it's set to transmit mode. And when I say the up position, I mean facing towards the ports on the back. So if you have it so that the button is in the front where it should be, if you flip the switch on the right side back, and thus up if it's vertical, I guess, that would be in receive mode, and the other way would be transmit. Interestingly, when you are using it as an analog receiver, it makes the shutdown and startup sounds when you turn it on and off. But it doesn't make the startup and shutdown sounds under normal conditions through the digital output. It will make the shutdown sound if there is audio playing, and also if there is no audio coming into the Bluetooth source for more than 5 seconds, it digitally does not send any signal whatsoever, I guess to save power. One thing that wasn't stated very clearly in the Anchor manual is if you want to use the digital in or the digital out, you should make sure that your sources are actually connected before you turn the Bluetooth receiver on, or the transmitter, depending on which mode it's in. If you don't, it will default to analog. Another oddity is that I discovered if it's in transmit mode, you actually have to hold the power button longer to turn it on than when it's in receive mode. This threw me for a while, and I was trying to figure out why it wasn't pairing. It's because it wasn't turned on. In receive mode, you only have to hold the power button down for about half a second, but when it's in transmit mode, you have to hold it down for about 3 seconds. Not sure why that is, but there you go. So there you have it. It's pretty good overall, and if I had an Apple Watch and I wanted to demonstrate something for some reason, I would probably pair it with one of these and run that into the board and have a nice clean feed of that, because of course the Apple Watch doesn't have a headphone jack. Since I don't have an Apple Watch, this isn't really a concern, but it is worth noting that if you want to get audio out of something that for whatever reason only has Bluetooth audio, this is a pretty easy way to do that. I hope at least someone was interested in this. I didn't mean to ramble on quite as long as I did, but sometimes things just take their course. Thanks to Andre Louis for allowing me to use his music. I will put a link to his YouTube channel in the show notes for royalty-free music and all sorts of other cool stuff. Check out Andre Louis' YouTube channel. Happy Bluetooth, everybody.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
Mentioned earlier about travel. I used to have a luggage locator. It was one of those ones I found on Amazon for like, you know, 10, 12 bucks. And you press the button and it would beep. And it was cool. And it worked for a few years. And then it died. So, well, that was the wrap-up show. Yeah.
And then he put in his talking watches that had the chicken so he could find it.
No, did not.
No? Set the time so that way it would go off while it was on the luggage carousel.
No. Great. Well, so that relates to this week's tip, though. So tiles, we might have heard of tiles before. Tiles are one of many brands of item locators. And they've been around for a few years, and I couldn't recommend them before for one big reason. I bet you can guess the reason.
Yeah, the app wasn't very friendly to screen readers.
Nope.
You couldn't change the battery.
That's it. Exactly it. You had to buy it, and then a year later, you'd have to get a new one. I mean, they might have given you a few bucks off. That was stupid. I didn't want to deal with that. Well, there's some new models out now that have replaceable batteries. The Tile Mate and the Pro. The Pro is the one that I recommend. It is the loudest. It only costs a couple bucks more. It has the biggest range of 300 feet. Okay, they advertise 300 feet. So even if you get 200 feet, you know, it's better than whatever. Versus the ones below it, which have 150 feet or less. So what you do is you take the tile and you put, and it really does kind of feel like a tile, you know, kind of like a little bigger than a Scrabble tile. You know, it's a little square thing. There's a hole in one corner so you could run it through a key loop, like, you know, keychain if you want to. Or a lanyard, keychain, you know, whatever, kid. You know,
I was thinking that. I know people have done it with their pets.
I can see it with a pet. Yeah, absolutely. And then you can use an app on your iPhone or Android to find whatever it is. So I have the Tile app here on my iPhone. Yes, I have an iPhone. I know this is so unbelievable to some people. No, it is not my primary phone, but I have an iPhone now. So don't surprise the world here.
Luggage.
Let's see here.
PL.
Are we hearing that?
Ooh. I hear luggage. PL.
Okay. Well, PL. PL, the word before that that was just blurted out is my street name or not. I mean, we know I live in Kalamazoo. Okay.
Yeah, I got that part. All right. So it's located in Michigan. Got it.
So somewhere it's actually within Michigan. But it actually gave me the street name of where it's located, which happens to be my street because it happens to be in my house right now. And as long as it's within range or with me, it's there. So the cool thing about that is, say if it said Ann Arbor, then I'm like, oh, crap, the last time I saw this thing was over there, maybe at a hotel that I was at. And then I don't, you know, have an idea of how to track this down. But since it is nearby, and I believe it's nearby, I can double tap on the luggage, and let's see what happens.
Luggage, back button.
So back on this main screen, it actually took a second for, I just turned my iPhone on to realize that my tire was in the room. But if I go here now.
Luggage nearby. Options. Find.
Button. Right. Find.
Find.
Oh, good. Right. I have no idea where I put this tile. And my phone's vibrating. Oh. I'll be right back. You like the sound? Jazzy.
So a nice little ditty there.
That wasn't the default. All of them are kind of these weird jazzy sounding numbers. I hold down the button, the single button on the tile for about a second and stops it. And that's loud. Obviously, it's hard to quantify that on a podcast, but it's loud. Right. I think you could hear it in an airport. I'll test that in theory out in Vegas because the reason I bought this is for my luggage, which is why I named it luggage. My luggage. Now,
correct.
If I press the button on here twice on the tile itself,
oh, so you can go find your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, yes, it goes two different ways.
So if somebody did find your luggage, they could actually double tap the tile button, and then you could be notified that someone got your luggage.
Exactly. You know, or if you just lost your phone or you don't know where your phone is, you can go either way. and you can find your phone from your luggage.
Super helpful if you don't have an Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. That is the number one super awesomest thing about an Apple Watch is you could use the Apple Watch to find your phone. Super helpful. That's cool.
You can get several of these. So they come in one packs for like 30 or four packs for 80 or two packs for 50, depending on the sale and the day. So you can get a few of these if you want. There is a crowdsource network. So if you're in a large location like an airport, your tile or your app is also looking at other people's tiles. Now, it won't tell you if it finds one because that part's private. But if it happens to see another tile, it'll kind of report that and update that information for that person. So in case you happen to leave it in a busy location like an airport, it's possible that someone else will see the tile. So really cool. They're pretty cheap. You know, if you are comfortable with phones and apps and things like that, the apps are free. They have a premium service now, which does some goofy things. It'll alert you if your phone's out of range. I don't think that's worth it at this point. They got to add more to it. I'm not paying monthly.
I mean, if you had it on, like if you were doing a demo, like if you had a laptop bag or something like that and someone took it from your booth, yeah, that would
maybe kind of work. But I think there might be other ways to accomplish that goal. But there you go. Tile.
More than likely.
I-L-E. And okay. You can go get them.
Different than Wayround. Wayround
tiles are a different thing. That's more for labeling things. That's for labeling the stuff. This is helping you find it. So you could use both together, absolutely. And these are all over Amazon. We'll put some Amazon links up for you can get some. So if you have some cool product, if you have some gadget that you found that you like, let us know. feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Kathy Blackburn writes into us. She's a longtime listener of the show. She says that she liked the conversation on 180 about movies, and she would love that Google could tell you whether the movie had audio description or closed captioning automatically. Like you could know that. You could just ask a digital assistant about that. I agree. It would be neat if, there was like a skill for the ACB.
That would be one way description project to do it. I mean, ideally, it would just be a filter, just like everything else, where you can tell, watch so-and-so on Netflix or watch this movie, or if you're searching for, or search for movies with. I mean, that would be,
It would get messy as if something like ActiveView, where ActiveView is doing audio description, within the app itself, and you don't know that unless you had ActiveView. So that could be a little weird. They haven't been as active lately.
Conceptualizing. Hey, ActiveView has some new movies though, right?
Yeah, but not something like, last year they had a lot of Disney movies. Maybe they'll have it for Aladdin. That would be interesting to see. Because it's usually the big blockbuster ones from Disney that show up on ActiveView. But those change all the time. You have to check the app and open it. But that's a way of doing it. I agree. You also would like to know if your theater has the audio description devices. So I took Kyle to go see Endgame, because last year I made him wait. I had to go teach the class and then he had to wait for us to go see Infinity War. So this year, Ricky asked me, was I going to punish our poor teenager again? I said, no. So we took him out ahead of time to go see Endgame. The audio for our movie theater, it wasn't active. It was like they gave us an assistive hearing device instead of audio description, the way that they keyed it. And then Ricky's headset was tuned to the movie theater next door. So that actually happened to be one of the first times I used it in Charlotte was during Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And I put on the headset at the beginning of the movie and it was tuned to the movie next door that was showing the same movie, it was showing Force Awakens. And the biggest spoiler in that movie happened when I put on
I mean, that's why I love the
very beginning of the movie.
That's why I love the ActiveView concept, because you don't have to worry about them figuring that out. I've gotten free tickets out of the deal. Hopefully, if that ever happens to me, I'm not paying.
I offered the manager of the local Regal, I'll come back and test all your audio description areas. I will verify if you don't mind. I'll just go from theater to theater. Happy to do it.
But if you wanted to see Palms or Ugly Balls, those are, I'm with ActiveView. Those are current first run movies, at least I believe
at the time I'm recording.
Yeah. So, and that's POMS. I have not heard of either of these movies, but they do exist with ActiveView. So that's a cool thing if you want to play with that.
Beth Tarasi, Denver Queen, different Beth, not our usual Beth that we've had write in on the show before, writes in to talk about a little bit of a surprise when using Seeing AI. And the classic thing where you use the photo algorithm to look at you to guess your age and or gender kind of jarred her a bit. If you don't know, the Seeing AI app will look at a photo or look at you and try and guess your age and also your gender. And of course, it's really kind of freaky when it looks at Ricky, who's in her 40s, and says she's a 62-year-old man or
has that happened?
A 13-year-old girl. So that has happened. And some of that comes from not all of these apps that do this utilize your light on your phone. So it is very much due to the light in your room. And some of us don't have lights in certain places in our houses. And we forget that. So when you're going to use a camera app, it needs light. It needs to see you and, you know, get an idea so it can use that algorithm.
And these are still experimental things.
I have seen that where people have forgotten that.
They're very experimental things. And, you know, so that's the question to best email is, would you rather have it take a guess and be right 75% of the time, or would you rather not have the feature? Because it's going to be horribly wrong sometimes and misidentify genders. And, you know, for some people that might be a big deal. So, I mean, one answer is don't use the feature if you know, it's really more.
Well, OrCam.
Yeah.
David Knack, OrCam, was actually at our thing in Mississippi, and he had talked about how they've changed that. So it just says man or woman, rather than old man or old woman, or young man and young woman. So that way they've taken out some of the guessing for the device. you look awful. That's what I don't want to say.
If someone's listening who's like a student looking for a research project, take a photo, run it by Seeing AI, and then run it by like 10 human people. Like, you know, take like photos that are not easily.
Or be specular. Remember that? You could actually just throw it up there.
Yeah, heck, as a blind person, you could run this project. Yeah, run it by be specular, where you get human opinions and say, hey, what is this person? What do you think the gender and age of this person, this picture is? All right. Well, hey, if someone's bored, it'd be really kind of fun to play with.
Greg Porch wrote in to say that he has inquired, he had actually run into the urinal trough that we talked about from the Astrodome in a couple episodes back, and it was quite confusing. He said it happened when he was on a trip to Ireland. He ran into several odd bathroom situations in Europe. This too also came up in our conversation in Starkville. It was really funny.
He said he encountered the urinal trough, and he was lucky to have several sighted folks guide him. I don't want to know what that means. Let's go to last word.
left. No. These were good shoes. And so the conversation we had in Starkville was, some of the times I've met people who've come to convention, like at CSUN, and encountered the intergender symbol for the first time on restrooms.
So I couldn't tell you what that looks like.
For people who don't know, some places in California and other places, there's not a men and a women. It's a unisex bathroom.
I've seen the Braille.
Never seen that before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That symbol can throw you the first time you see it.
I couldn't describe the symbols. Even the men or the women or the,
No way. That's your homework, dear listener. Describe what you think the unisex symbol feels like.
How much homework are we tossing out? Wow. We're going.
Not too much. I think we've been good. We've been good. People wrote in about the
research project.
People wrote in about the urinal. I should be careful. I should really be careful. Also, shout out to Alex Hall on Twitter for listening to episode 180 and talking about how he felt like Google's had 10 years to get Braille right. And Marco Z actually replied and said, well, you know, Apple does Braille, but they do Braille best in English. Other languages suffer,
which we don't think about.
Updated.
That makes a lot of sense. I would have never thought of that.
It was a really good reminder once again about, you know, those of us in America have a tendency to look at it one way, where our friends outside of the States
internationally more, Joe. That's why our listener numbers skew their US. Remember those other people.
But it's good that people point that out. I think it's really good, because we can only talk about where we are, which is the US. So it's very good for people to write in and remind us what you got.
Absolutely. You can always write us at feedback at blindbargains.com. Hey, if you happen to go to a site city and saw something cool, let us know, because we didn't go this year. But if you happen to go, let us know, because that's another cool conference. If you're in Europe, that's, I believe,
the Talking Clock. Will Wilkinson went, so I'll have to see how that went. And Dave Williams, usually we shake Dave Williams down to get some information about
something. We'll check into that. So
those are all things.
I was going to go, but my flight was on Wow Air.
But you know, you could watch a movie on your flight. You could just chill out and relax, you know, get one of those international seats where the seat reclines back, almost turns into a bed.
Or they
you
do.
Know, it goes really flat. It would be really cool. And when you get to Europe, like say Switzerland, you could actually go to a movie theater where there is a bed and just chillax on the bed in the theater. That's where it comes from the Daily Mail. And they have a back row of the theater. You know, isn't the reclining chair the moving chair?
Right.
Oh, it's a straight up bed.
Double bed. A double just, bed.
Yep. You can, they do change the sheets between
showings. Good, 'cause I'm assuming a double bed is intended for two people.
I would think so. I would think so. So these are mainstream films, and you know, people are bringing you food these days. They're bringing you alcohol, anything to get you into the theater. And now you may never leave. You might just take a nap. And Avengers is 3 hours and 1 minute, Jay. You might need that.
Well, but that was, okay, if you're in the back on the bed, do you care about the audio description track at that point?
It's so cool in here, and all the subwoofers, they're vibrating. It's like magic fingers. I'm good. I'll see you. I actually have seen people bring lawn chairs to the theater. There was a guy once who fell asleep in the lawn chair, and they had to wake him up to get him out of the theater in Houston.
I still miss our Animal Draft House. It's very sad. Those are the best theaters in the country.
When I was in San Francisco, I seriously thought about going.
Yeah, those are so cool.
Oh, man, they're so good. Audio description at Alamo Draft House, too. So if you have one in the area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The CEO was here when they first opened, and before they opened, and I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but there was like a meet and greet with him. With Tim, and I put that bug in his ear. I think it might have been in process at that point, but still, it was cool to see that. And that was a little before all the other theaters had it. That's cool audio. This audio here. Do you have a Roomba? I've been thinking about getting a Roomba.
I do not have one. Dave was the first person I knew, Wilkinson again, who first got a Roomba.
Dave would love this. Yeah. You know, one of the things about the Roomba is it's robotic, and you kind of lose the human interaction of vacuuming, and then, you know, then suddenly it like picks up a cord, right, and it gets stuck, and you get all frustrated. And you know. Well, you know, we don't want to go too robot crazy, so... let's find one of the, this is a pretty NSFW video. We'll find one of the tamer parts, of this, and we can just listen by the audio, to a Roomba going around. And then as it hits things, what happens? Take a listen.
Oh, why was I created this way?
You barely notice it after a while, huh? Ah! How likely would you be to adopt this into your household?
Well, it
looks
like a horror movie.
Oh, gosh. Oh, why was I created this way?
Like I said, that's the tame part of the video. It's definitely a not safe for kids type listen. Pretty much.
And I was saying that Steve Clower would say it should sound like Homer when it bums into stuff. Do.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different things. There's so many different things you could do with that. Better. But I love how he takes it to an actual store and like starts trying to get people. Yes. Hey, so what do you think of this? Like, everyone, I'd buy it.
It's a new feature. Well, you know, they could do it like Garmin's, where they were adding different voices.
Mm-hmm.
Just have that.
Every once in a while, I run across an Uber or Lyft with a really obnoxious voice as the GPS.
Was it Will at a Far?
No, Mr. T one or Santa Claus voice during Christmas someone had going on. I think Waze had a Santa.
There was the Darth Vader voice. There was also Kit Knight Industries 2000.
Yeah.
There have been some good ones. Now we're really dating ourselves.
Let's get out of here. I actually have to catch a train.
Like the days of MapQuest.
I'm catching a train to a.
You need MapQuest? Print out your instructions.
No, Nope, I'm good.
You good?
Okay. I need to actually really catch a train. You're not going to hear it on the audio.
That's true.
Going to a text.
But you could use Hira to catch that train.
I could.
So that's important.
True.
Yep.
This is true. Yes.
So definitely head on over to Hira to learn more about what's going on with them. Including wind the things stuff. That we talked about earlier.
Yes, wind stuff, big stuff. That is really cool stuff. So definitely check that out. And of course, if you want to get more information, you go to Hira.io and get the Hira app, iPhone, Android, and follow them on Twitter, Hira, A-I-R-A-I-O as well. And yes, that's going to be happening from now through a convention. More exciting things in the works. So stay tuned there. Thank you to anyone who stopped by in Ann Arbor, as I alluded to. See, that's the magic of podcasts. I'm recording this now, but by the time you hear it, it'll be after.
Thank them ahead of time.
So if you did happen to stop by, we seen you at a recent show. We saw you at CSUN. Always good to see our listeners. And thank you so much for listening.
Now you'll know why he said, I'll thank you on the show. He did.
Right. There you go. Now I'll tell them that now. I'll tell them that now. Follow us, Blind Bargains.
Now you can predict who's going to come to the booth. Give me some names.
Actually, yeah, Jerry, thanks, Matt. John. Thanks, Bob.
We can only front load so much of this show. Thank you, Patrick, for making us sound better than we actually are. And thank you for your brown tooth. No, that's what they call Bluetooth in West
Texas. We can just drop them in.
Thank you for your Bluetooth.
We'll just drop the names. Yeah. We're just going to give a big thank you to
Bob
for coming by.
Now we need the Darth Vader voice from Garmin. That would totally work.
Tweet us. You can tweet us.
Thank you for telling us about low latency and Bluetooth and appreciate that. And you're right. Follow us twitter.com/blindbargains, all one word. Same as Ranger Station. If you want to read more about things, I've actually been quiet. Your news feed must have been really weird because I haven't been tweeting
It's 2,000 tweets a week lately. All the conferences are done, but still catching up on Google and all the things there and waiting for,
Mortal of course, Kombat Apple. 11 has talking menus, Jay. That's why.
Do we have a WWDC date?
Yeah, it's the first week of June.
That's what I figured.
And right after that is E3. I think it's June
11th. That's yours.
Xbox.
That's all you.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
That's all your show.
Told you about talking menus on Mortal Kombat 11. So that's what's going on. We are looking forward to the holiday. No idea what we have coming up.
Nope.
I mean, honestly, it's been kind of slow on the news, so that's why
I've written people. These shows are so we'll see who writes back, and then we'll see what we'll do. But we'll have a show.
Some people have gone into hibernation mode before summer convention, so see what happens.
Absolutely. So a lot more of that coming up. But thank you all for listening this week, and we will see you next time.
Have fun on your train.
I will. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.